Welcome to our first Creativity Cafe, where we get to explore creativity in all its aspects, from designing your lifestyle, your work and business, to creating more beautiful and sustainable solutions to global challenges. I'm Katie Curtin, and I'm hosting this cafe because fostering creativity and helping people, creative people, thrive is what I'm all about. And you can visit me at my website at www.katiecurtin.com. Today's guest is Alex Baisley, and I can't think of anybody better for this opening call of the Creativity Cafe. Alex will be talking about something that's so important to all of us, which is how to put your passions first and follow your calling. And Alex has really walked his talk around this. And his journey has taken him from being a deep sea diver to a Reiki practitioner to a lifestyle coach who does these fabulous North American tours. And I'm green with envy when I hear you take off for all of them. And accompanied often by your family and tent and laptop. So I'll be talking with Alex about all the different aspects of lifestyle design and how to create a sustainable income while you're following your passions, because that's really important too. And I'll later open up the call for a question period from you, our audience. So make yourself comfortable. Take a sip of your favorite brew while I welcome Alex. Hi, Alex.
Thank you welcome so today. Much, Katie. Thank you so much. That's lovely. And we're in a mutual admiration club for sure. I think we're so interested in such similar work, Katie, and it's always really, really nice to connect with you and talk. So honestly, I'm totally thrilled and honored to be here. This is great.
Well, thank you, Alex, because I am too. And it's true, we have so many similarities, and yet we go at it from a bit of a different approach. And so it's always fascinating to talk with you because, like you'll probably be talking about later, we're all so individual. So even if we do the same thing, it's always got that touch and that angle, which is uniquely ourselves. So
yeah, that's true, eh? It's almost like musicians. We imagine if there was only one band in the world because they were the ones that did it, you know. There's clearly room for everybody's take, even on the same 12 notes.
That's so true. And so, Alex, I'd really love you to tell us something about your own journey, about finding your calling, because it's certainly taken you into some interesting areas. So,
oh, my God. It's so unexpected, Katie. Jeez. Like, maybe it's just I don't have the ability to kind of design my way forward, or I didn't used to. And so the odd turns in the road were funny, but looking back, like it was all meant to be somehow. I suppose a lot of people get that feeling, but it felt weird at the time. I started out as a commercial diver, Katie. Yeah, as you said, and it was just kind of before that, I had a bit of an academic thing going, you know, college and university and that sort of thing, and still hadn't quite figured out what I wanted to do with my life. I had lots of ideas and just kind of needed a job one summer, and I ended up, I knew how to dive, and so I got a job as a commercial diver, diving for sea urchins off the coast of Nova Scotia. And, oh my God, Katie, if anybody who knows me or seen me knows how skinny I am. Jeez, being under the Atlantic Ocean in the wintertime, it's summer even, is not necessarily the best spot to put me. But anyway, that was my life for 10 years.
And some people would be really thrive in that atmosphere, too. I mean, some people would, that's like their heart's desire to be a deep sea diver.
To be honest,
but it just didn't fit you, did it?
Well, it kind of suited certain aspects of me in the sense that up until then I had been quite academic and into music and that sort of thing. And I think there was a part of me wanted to really maybe test myself physically. So I think that played into it unconsciously, even though I didn't know at the time. I got to feel a lot of pride in my ability just to do it. Ability to suffer. That doesn't sound quite like a life design plan. But I did develop a real solid pride in myself, and I think I grew as a man doing that? A lot of people feel have the impression that commercial divers or divers are a bit of a macho lot, and you could not be further from the truth. There are a real touchy-feely, tight-knit group of people that, for the most part, care about each other a great deal, and they'll talk about anything because you're kind of putting your life in other people's hands on a regular basis, or not even life, but like often I'd be down underwater for hours at a time with no one to talk to but the other diver on the surface that's on the radio, and his only job is to sit there in case I need him, you know?
Yeah.
And so the kind of conversations that would happen over those hours, me just welding away underwater, chatting away with this voice in my ear, you know, it was really quite something in that sense. That's the first time I've actually really described that to anyone, Katie, but I do remember it, you know, very fondly, the relationships and the chance to get around the world a little bit as well with that sort of work. So that was great, but, oh my God, 5 years into the 10 years I did it, I was starting to feel really bored, but a much stronger bored than that. Like, I felt like there was something I was meant to be doing in this world, and I didn't know what it was. And it started to really eat away at me. I noticed I was getting to work every day. I was begrudging the job in the cold more and more all the time. And interestingly enough, when I look back on it, Katie, the only bright spots in those days were the chats that I would be having with people. If it was about life, I'd be sitting on the bow of a boat, going out to dive somewhere, chatting with the first mate next to me about his relationship with his wife, or about what he dreamed of in his life, or he was going back to school to take whatever, and, oh, that's great, what are you doing? And those kind of chats, you know, when I look back on it, were prophetic, because now it's all I do, and I love it.
Yeah. And so what got you... What switched you, or how did you make the switch, and how long did it take you?
Well, it took me 10 years to get out of diving altogether. I was there 10 years, and by the time I had finished, I kept track of my hours underwater and stuff. By the time I had finished, I had spent a half a year of my life underwater. And I was getting to the feeling like that's enough for anybody. And I was starting to also... All right, here's what happened. I was teaching first aid on the side, and apologies for any of you that might have heard this story before and ad nauseum, but I was teaching first aid on the side, and I got asked to teach a first aid course to a bunch of healers. I was working in Ireland at the time on a salmon farm, and so I remember thinking, well, what the heck's a healer? But sure, I'll teach your course. Showed up, and they were a flaky bunch, Katie, let me tell you. I was a very, maybe not close-minded, but a little bit redneck, certainly a little bit blue-collar at this point, from the Maritimes of Canada, and this was a bunch of people I had never seen before. They had kind of robes on and long hair and dreadlocks, and they were quite the gang. But anyway, they needed first aid to be able to be healers in Ireland, right? And so I show up, teach the course, and anyway, I'm demonstrating CPR on this one fellow on the floor, kind of where to put your hands for CPR, that is, and everybody's kind of gathered around, and at the lunch break, he came up to me and kind of cornered me and said, you have healing hands, did you know that? And I remember thinking, you're a fucking loony. Oh, sorry, I did mean to swear there. You're crazy. But at the same time, I had a three-hour drive home, Katie, and it was like this little seed had been planted. And I still remember so clearly what went through my head. I may be a bit redneck, but I'm not stupid. If there's a chance that this clown is right, would I waste that?
Yeah.
So I looked in the Yellow Pages when I got back home and found Reiki in the Yellow Pages. And what I didn't know was that one of the certainly foremost teachers in Europe, if not the world, lived in the same town that I was in. And I began by beg your pardon, taking a Reiki level 1 course with her. Her name beg your pardon, her name was Gisela Kissing, and she was astonishing. I just found her an astonishing individual, someone I could really, really respect and look up to. If it had been, you know, very flaky or whatever, I wouldn't have been able to get my head around it, Katie. But
yeah.
Anyway, I kicked and screamed through the first level course, and kind of happy to get out of there. It didn't feel like a great, you know, fit for me. It was very challenging, comfort zone-wise. And but a couple of weeks later, I just turned to my wife one day, and I said, my God, I feel so much better. I feel light inside. I feel happier. You know, I still have the same job. Nothing's changed in my life. And I couldn't figure it out. And
yeah.
She said, by this time I'd almost kind of discounted the Reiki experience. And she said, maybe it was the Reiki. And I said, geez, maybe it was. And so I decided that I would look into a level 2 course. And I did. And somewhere in the middle of that, I dropped my barriers to it. And I just started falling in love with it. And it started changing my life and how I see the world from the inside out. And I just went for it. I took every course she would give and practiced and studied and meditated every single day. And honestly, Katie, I had quite a bit of time to practice underwater.
You meditated underwater.
Katie, I was just telling someone the other day that my very first client in Reiki was a salmon. There's very few people know that.
Lucky
was,
salmon.
I was in a big salmon cage, you know, and there was this salmon. Well, salmon die, right? They just like any fish in an aquarium or whatever. And I was in the bottom of the cage, and the salmon kind of dropped down beside me and was flip-flopping and was clearly in its last moments.
Mm-hmm.
I looked around and I looked up. Nobody could see me. I was underwater. I said, why not? So anyway, I did a little session on this salmon. I thought, well, can't hurt. So anyway, I got into Reiki. And before long, I had opened up a Reiki clinic in Galway, Ireland, in the back of an internet cafe, and that became my life for years afterwards.
Wonderful.
And then there was one more iteration that leads to why we're talking today, and perhaps one of the most joyous discoveries in my work life was that I noticed, by this time we had moved to Canada, I opened up a clinic in Ontario here, and I noticed that about 6 years into it, I was so much happier than I was diving, and I got to talk to people about the things I cared most about. But something very unsettling started happening with me, that I started going to work every day, noticing I had a pit in my stomach again, like I did when I started to have to leave diving. That pit in my stomach lasted 5 years with diving, and it scared the heck out of me, Katie. I thought, I found something I love to do. What the hell is wrong?
Yeah.
And I really started fearing that there was something fundamentally wrong with me. Like I could not be content. Like there was nothing that could please me. And I didn't know what else to do, Katie. That was my job. That's how I earned my income. I have a wife and two children. And I haven't always been a great provider, but it's certainly been my, you know, a number one priority at the same time. And I thought, what do I do with this feeling? That lasted another year or so. And I started to feel a little bit inauthentic in my work, in that the fact I wasn't coming there as passionate as I felt I should. And one afternoon after lunch, I sat down with a coffee, and it suddenly all became clear to me. It took years to get to that afternoon, but it only took one afternoon to see what the problem was. And that is that we can't separate, at least I can't, separate life from work. I'm a gypsy at heart. I love to travel. I love to feel free. I love to feel free with my schedule also. And I had built myself my very own business that was shaped a little bit like a prison.
Yeah.
It kept me indoors all day. It kept me in very regimented appointment sessions. When I looked at my calendar, my heart sunk a little bit. And ironically, the more successful the business would get, the less happy I was. Of course I was happy with the income. Of course I was happy with the new people, but something in me wasn't happy. And I realized that day that if I'm going to be happy, if I'm going to even succeed financially and business-wise, I need to build a business for myself that allows me to be more free. And if I can do that, I have a chance. I have a chance to make a bigger contribution. I have a chance to make a better living and a happier, you know, life for myself. And that day, something really shifted for me. I realized that so many entrepreneurs approach their business such as, when it's successful, then I will have the lifestyle that I want. And now I've been dedicated to this for 3 years, and that almost never happens, Katie, does it?
That's totally true. It's just like a treadmill that you establish.
That's just it. And the very measures of success, say clients, for instance, are the things that make us feel even less successful in our living, in our lives. And so from that time, I've been talking here, Katie. I've almost got the story out now.
This is great. And I'm discovering some new things, too, about you. So it's really
well, that was April. And by September, I had completely renovated my business. I decided that of all of the things I like to talk about with Reiki clients, with energy healing clients, life direction, life design, what are you doing with your life? What do you want to do with your life? What are your dreams? Those were my favorite topics. Not as much the person coming in with a sore shoulder.
Yeah.
I liked that topic. And I also noticed something bizarre, that when people started to get more aligned work-wise, what they're doing day-to-day, that a lot of those mysterious physical problems bloody disappeared, which was also fascinating to me. And I thought, okay, wait now, I want to focus on this. So by September, I had gone down to one day a week in my clinic, kept the clients that I most enjoyed working with, and started teaching workshops on this topic of how to take lifestyle off the luxury shelf, how to build a business or a life from the lifestyle out versus from the business towards the lifestyle. And that's what I've been doing full time for 3 years now. And it's a hoot. Oh, my God. It's so fun. It's really great. And funny, once I attained the more of the lifestyle I wanted without even needing more money to fuel it, because most of the travel that I've done has been the workshops I do along the way pay for it. So I don't have any more money, or not often, than I did before. But I suddenly have this lifestyle. And what I'm noticing is that I'm getting stronger living in this lifestyle. I'm getting healthier. My ideas are getting stronger and better. And so the income creeps up, it seems, as a result of that. So that's where I'm at today, Katie. That's kind of the slightly more than Cole's Notes version.
I love that. So it sounds like things, what happened is that you started following your heart around things, and things just kind of, it wasn't like someday, all of a sudden, one day you had the absolute revelation of where your life was going, but that at different moments you had choice points and also opportunities to explore things that were interesting to you, and that you went with them. And
I guess that's true,
then
yes.
Then finally, in some ways, that, you know, it's become revealed over time.
So true. Do you know, at the time, I've had some people give me feedback that they think some of the choices that I made were very courageous. And I always get a little bit uncomfortable around that feedback, because in truth, there was so little courage about it. It was more like a desperation.
Yeah.
Like, I absolutely need to do something. I cannot actually continue in this spot, feeling like something's dying inside, and I absolutely need to change to survive. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
So looking back, I can make a very courageous-looking story out of it. And it wasn't that. And I now I can see that so many people that I talk to have those same bits of desperation creeping in. And so often it's a doorway. What are you desperate about? Well, I feel trapped. Then let's design something that allows you to feel more free and watch what happens to the rest of your life.
Yeah. And so let's say you have somebody on this call who doesn't have a clue about tapping into their calling and what their calling is,
right,
but are feeling this kind of desperation.
Right, right. That, I'd love to talk about that. And I, my only hesitation is that I can get so excited about it and talk too much, Katie. So you just interrupt as you need to. But
okay. Go ahead. I really want to hear.
What I noticed for myself, this led into sharing this with other people once I realized that what I discovered might have some benefit to other people. What I realized for myself on that same April day was that there were five kind of ingredients to how my life felt and what I was building my life direction around. If I was going to step back from what I'm doing Reiki, I'm doing diving. If I'm going to step back and actually build a life for myself in which work fits, then there were five areas I wanted to explore that I thought were critical. First was, what are my dreams? So for someone listening, let me just give you an example of what that can look like. What does a dream you have anything to do with perhaps your income or your career choice or something? What I've noticed is that people dream interesting things. Like, let's say I want to live in Italy for a year. That's a dream that they hold. Maybe it seems completely unrealistic, but it's a dream they have nevertheless. Or I want to have an RV and travel around North America, live a kind of a gypsy lifestyle, even part of the year. Or I want to go do development work from time to time, things like that. When we have dreams like this, what I notice is that, again, they're on the luxury shelf, but if we take them off the luxury shelf, what if they're actually key ingredients to building the future? So let's take Italy for an example. So you want to live in Italy for a year. What would you like to be doing in Italy, sort of day-to-day? And so we work out what that dream could look like. And I won't necessarily have time to go into the whole story, but so often a dream like that then ends up showing people what they could do for income to make that possible, or how they could convert what they're doing now to be able to do it from Italy. So we start with dreams. The second thing, and these all overlap, these ingredients. What I notice, by the way, is that when people come to me at workshops or as a client and trying to figure out their life direction, they're usually thinking of one of these things, maybe two of these things, not all five at the same time. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed is that when we put all five together at the same time, often the path becomes way more clear. It's almost like we were trying to grow a plant and we had water and we had sunshine, but we had no earth. Well, we still haven't really got something that's going to work. If we're missing one of these five ingredients, then, or at least that's my opinion, you see what you think, then we're missing a huge potential in terms of how we create our way forward. If we were to create our way forward without a dream in mind, then that dream is on the shelf. It's going to be squawking at us. It's going to be occupying real estate because we haven't paid attention to it. The second is lifestyle. And how do you want to live? So that was very much my story. I love working around life direction and healing and big life chats with people. But I discovered that I can't thrive doing that in a one-on-one client environment Monday to Friday. So now I can do the same thing. I can adapt what I was doing before, focus even on the things that I care more about, and adapt it to a different lifestyle, workshops and online work and teleseminars and so on. And I have the lifestyle that I want. So it's really, it's not a big no-brainer, and it didn't require any extra money. As a matter of fact, it requires less. I'm not paying $900 a month rent now for a clinic. The third thing that we talk about, and this is a real biggie for a lot of people, who you're working with, who you're spending time with in your life, who makes your life sing. So a couple of examples of why this is important. So a mom comes to me, a single mom, and one of the things she cares most about is time with her children, in particular being there when her children get home from school. And she was also feeling the tremendous, like so many of us do, a greatness inside, career-wise, but no idea what it is, like dying to express herself in the world through work in some way, but not knowing what that is. And so the decisions she was making seemed to be kind of obvious, except for they went directly against this who bit. In other words, she would be working till 6 o'clock every night. And I said, if you love your job, but you're getting home at 6 every night, how does that feel to you? And she said, I'd be depressed. Right. So now that we've taken into account the who in your life, what can we design that allows you to be home at 3 o'clock? And in the end, we ended up designing a home-based business for teaching workshops. And that's perfect. You never, didn't have to leave the home at all. The fourth thing, am I making any sense here, by the way, Katie? Am I doing okay?
Oh, yeah, wonderful. And, yeah, it really makes total sense when given my experience with people and designing lifestyles, too.
Okay, so it jives with you. Okay. Another thing about the who is who we're working with, and let me give you an example how quick that can turn something around. Take a person who has been doing bookkeeping and does not like it, absolutely wants to do this is a friend of mine. I'm just not saying her name because I didn't ask her permission to tell the story. But anyway, if you're on the call, you know who you are. And didn't want to do that anymore. It felt boring, but the most exciting places in her life were her new discoveries, working in sort of learning Reiki and meditation and kind of the whole spiritual world is her cutting edge, is what she most enjoys. She spends money on courses and she studies and whatever and does bookkeeping to pay for it. So we talked about this who thing, and so you want to get out of bookkeeping because you don't like it anymore. What if, however, though, you take that bookkeeping, and would you have any interest in teaching us healers how to do our bookkeeping? If you had a bunch of us gathered around, a bunch of us flaky healer types, that half of us can't organize $3 in a budget, let alone, you know, taxes and everything, it's not necessarily all our strength. And if you had a bunch of us in a room, how would it, like, would you enjoy teaching us how to navigate this? She said, oh, I'd love it.
Ah.
So this comes up so often, Katie, that the thing that we're doing is not always the issue.
Yeah.
Take what you do now. This, the reason I'm really emphasizing this is because often the quickest turnarounds I see in life direction happen around this question. I've seen turnarounds happen in a couple of days. Another example is a person who was a Reiki master and had almost no clients, a very unsuccessful practice, even though she loved Reiki, and was trying and felt bored and deflated about it all.
Yeah.
What do I do? So we were talking about life direction. And we talked about this who question. So I was asking her, if you could work with any particular kind of who's in the world, like not just anybody, but pick a group of people that you just love spending time with, what if you shared your Reiki just with them? Would that change how you feel? And funny enough, with her in this conversation, we couldn't come up with any group of people that made her sing at all. And finally, she was getting frustrated, and I was feeling like a bad coach. I just couldn't get a breakthrough here at all. And she said, you know, I got to be honest with you. And she said, I just don't like people very much. And I laughed, and I said, oh, right. So I thought, what are we going to do now? And thankfully, she saved me because she said, I love animals.
Oh.
I said, oh, my God, what the fuck are you doing working with people then? clearly the who is important in this case.
Yes.
And so she sent out an email to all of people she knew and stuff and said, I'm exploring working with animals, dogs and horses in particular, and house pets and stuff. And so I'm going to give a few sessions for free just to try it out. And after that, I'm going to be charging this amount, you know, if it works out. So she was kind of eliciting her friend's support in that. People started sending her their dogs and their cats and so on. And she was gifted. She was really, really good at it, right? And she wasn't maybe all that stellar at working with people. Bring her your dog and watch what happens. And so her business started going up, 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 and people started sending her. And for the first time in her life, she had a lineup of people wanting to do business with her, and she barely had to deal with the human beings at all. Just, I'll take your animal, yeah, I get paid, great kind of thing, and then she would devote herself to the animal. But her results would make people keep coming back, even if she wasn't terribly social with them. You get me?
Yeah, no, that's a brilliant solution. It's both of those things. It's really interesting what I'm finding there is because they're so close to what can really be their life passion, and yet they're so far from it at the same time. And
oh, my God,
that
I
little
know,
tweet.
Katie. I know. And, you know, some of the stories I tell you that I have to share, it sounds very dramatic. You know, sometimes we discover something in an hour of conversation, and it does happen a lot, but I also think that there's a lot of pre-time has gone into it for that individual,
yeah,
such that they're kind of ready to, you know, pop at that point, because really, in fairness to her, it wasn't so much me that solved that for her. She said it her own self. What I really love is animals.
Yeah.
And so I know, but isn't it frustrating when we can't figure it out for ourselves?
Exactly.
And I think that's you know, one of the biggest advantages I know of life coaches and similar type people is that I can't hardly figure it out for myself sometimes either. And I'm supposed to know what I'm doing at this, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes we need another person. We need to be able to bounce this off another person. And often the answer, the pathway starts to clear its own way then, hey?
Exactly. I mean, I'm often going to another life coach because we just can't see ourselves or because we're so close to everything. And also, it's just like sometimes there's a little thing there that needs to be tweaked, and yet it would never occur to us. So, and you had a fourth thing that you were going to tell
right.
us that also.
So I have a fourth and a fifth thing here.
Yes.
So the fourth, so I'm wondering if you can start to see, I didn't do a great job explaining the first one, but I'm wondering if you can see by the time we got around to number three there, how these questions become critical ingredients on what we build forward.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, I'm seeing it.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm seeing it. If people aren't seeing it on the call, they'll get a chance to ask later. But certainly
wonderful.
I can see how
wonderful.
It all works together.
Got it. Okay. So the fourth one, the fourth kind of ingredient here, I call these things JRs, by the way, juicy realizations, because that's what they were for me, and I just like the name. So the fourth JR is your energy. And so what do I mean by that exactly? So for most people, what it means is if we were a plant and we were trying to thrive, the thing that we would focus on is the environment that we're in. The environment then allows us to grow quite naturally. And so your energy, what I mean by that is what can we do in your life right now that nourishes your energy? That starts to grow your inner strength. And for some people, that's very, very small. And I'll give you an example that will kind of illustrate that. But just kind of broad view, it's like certain kinds of music is just nourishing for us. A plant in the office. Aromatherapy. Spending a certain amount of time meditating. All of those things, again, often end up on the luxury shelf. So if we were to say to the tomato plant, Okay, you know those wonderful nutrients that you need. We're not going to take the time to put those in right now. You just get busy growing while I go dig another hole to make another plant. The nutrients are really what we want and what the tomato plant wants. And those nutrients come in anything that grows our energy. So things like yoga, things like meditation, things like exercise, things like taking a walk, we typically put them as extras outside of our work. When I get time, I will do that. And usually, of course, we're shooting ourselves in our foot, in the foot. I often say that 10 minutes of meditation, it will save you an hour's work. And so starting to schedule those things into our day takes courage. It feels awkward and counterintuitive at first. It feels like we're being selfish even, or not on the ball. And yet we couldn't possibly make a better decision in terms of growing tomorrow and what tomorrow looks like. And so to give you an idea of that, it's kind of a neat little story. A woman came to me who was working in Toronto, but from northern Canada, where it's wide open wilderness, right? Lots of space. And she's driving from Guelph to Toronto every day on one of the busiest highways in Canada, gridlocked, and navigating downtown Toronto. Loves her job, but her energy is going down, 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 down because of this lifestyle piece, this energy bit. And she came to me at one point saying, "I think that I need to perhaps, there's no job really to do what I do in Guelph. I need to perhaps start my own business and find a way to work from Guelph." And so we talked about that a little bit, but really didn't come up with any ideas that were really working. And on top of that, she was worn out. She was tired. And so we got talking about this energy thing, and I'll show you how it played out and the reason why I think it's important. I said, what would you do if you weren't zonked tired when you came home at night? What things grow your energy?" And she said, "Well, taking courses, taking night classes in anything. She just loves to learn. Doesn't hardly matter what it is. But she's too tired to join any courses. She joined a course and quickly dropped it because she just couldn't go. Another thing she said that would grow her energy or has in the past was aromatherapy. That's the reason that occurred to me just before now. She loves the idea of designing the scent, the aroma of a room to provide something like clarity or sleepiness or whatever, right? And she was really into this, but just didn't have the mental real estate to even approach it. And I know most anybody listening can relate to times like that in their lives. And another thing was she loves a clutter-free environment, like nice, clean, crisp, clutter-free. But of course, everything around her was totally cluttered because she didn't have any time or energy to make it so. So here's what we did. We focused right in on your energy. Let's see what can happen if we do nothing else. We don't decide on new careers, new business, anything like that. We just focus on your energy for a little bit to see what happens. So here's what we did. We turned her car into a mobile learning station. So she went and she got it professionally cleaned so she didn't have to do it herself. The car came back immaculate, spotless, beautiful, clutter-free. She went and got a spongy thing for the car and a vase she could put a flower in, and the sponge was for her essential oils. So she had a little rack of essential oils, and she would choose whatever oil that she wanted to put a drop in to infuse the environment in her car. And then finally, she went to the library and she got a bunch of CDs on learning Italian, 12 CDs to learn Italian. So you can imagine her the next day. She comes out of her house in the dark, gets into the car, and it's a beautiful environment. And she starts to feel relaxed and more spacious, a little bit happier. She puts in her Italian CD, and she's yammering away in Italian the whole way to Toronto.
Wow.
And she emailed me as soon as she got to Toronto and said she was so disappointed when the commute was over. And I thought that was really, really funny. But what happened was she had taken control over what she had control over. And here's what happened. Just like growing a tomato plant, the tomato plant was struggling, right? We improved the environment, the soil, and the plant knows how to heal itself, knows how to thrive all by itself. We don't have to grow the plant. We just have to create the environment. And so for her, what happened was 6 months later, about that-ish, months later anyway, she came back and she looked completely different. She was a brand new person. I thought, wow. And she was just kind of radiating, you know. And she said, I think I want to talk about that business now.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, you are in such a different place than you were the last time we talked about a business. And so I share that story just to illustrate how it can be a breakthrough point in this whole life direction thing for a lot of people.
Yeah, those are very. That's a very powerful story. And what I like, again, about it is that it's not saying, okay, right away you have to change your life, quit your job, just go into the void. But in actual fact, just look at some little things you can do for a start and go with that, and then later the path kind of unravels or before you, or it becomes revealed
before you.
That is
such a good question, Katie. And don't let me forget to get back to point five, but just let me say something about that.
Okay, I'll remember that.
If someone listening to this is in a position where they really, really want to change their work, their daily life, then if I said, okay, you need to change it by tomorrow, something's clearly wrong, you got to fix it, go fix it, see if you can get it changed by tomorrow or next week, how does that feel compared with what if this year is about exploring the new you? What if we take this year to design a very new life for you? How does that feel? Because I think that we approach when we're in a desperate spot, we think every hour that goes by that we're not changing it increases the pressure, increases the disappointment, and decreases our confidence in ourselves.
Exactly.
And when you're saying it so nicely, Katie, when you stretch that out a little bit, there's a kind of an analogy I like to use, that if you've always dreamed of doing a big road trip somewhere, for me in Canada, let's say it's California, okay? And let's say I've dreamed of it all my life, but I'm working so hard and I can't get time off and whatever. So years go by and I've never done that, you know? Or I had another woman actually was saying she might do the same thing to go to Burning Man. Again, that's one of those dreams that a person can hang on to, right? And
yeah.
If we finally get to the point where we're willing to entertain the dream, and we get to working on it, and finally we find out, oh, my God, I can make this happen. Here's how it's going to work. Jeez, I didn't see that before. That's kind of magical. The day that we leave the driveway, how's that going to feel? It's going to feel bloody amazing. Like, we got my coffee. I got my music. I'm starting my road trip. It would feel amazing, and we haven't even left the driveway yet. And so I think that finding our calling is not so much about a destination, but designing a journey. And questions like this and the kind of work that you're doing, Katie, help people figure out what they want their journey to look like. And that makes all the difference.
Well,
a destination is like the lottery. It's like waiting for life's lotto to hit us with California, when the whole time we really wanted the trip there.
Exactly. And actually, that really corresponds to something I've discovered. And I'm one of those people, well, actually, there have been times where I've taken a long time before I've made the move to change things. But often I'll kind of go off on a limb, I'll do it, and then and I'll take the big move. And then sometimes, well, one is that the big move wasn't really thought out that much in terms of finances. So I figured, oh, well, I'll do my passions, the money will follow, and that doesn't always happen. And secondly, is that what I found so great about doing some of your workshops is that even though I make these big moves in my daily life, I reestablish some of the same patterns I've been trying to get away from.
Wow.
And, for example, I've followed my passion to be an artist, to go into theater, later to do coaching, to come to Mexico, all
yes.
of those things. But I'd often get into the pattern of I got to work these certain hours and schedules. And so what would be my passion would become turned around a little bit and become more like I just still wasn't really living the kind of lifestyle I wanted to. Even though I kept trying. So I find what you're saying here is so, so helpful. And I certainly, something that I think is really important for people who, like there's a lot of people you talked about earlier who get, do the businesses of their dream and
yes.
then find that that business is a trap because it's not exactly done in the way that really encourages them to live their lifestyle or take the small moments and really enjoy them. So
that is such a good point, eh?
I think what you're saying here is so great.
We're hoping that, or some of us have spent time, I certainly spent, you know, a lot of years of my life hoping that they're discovering the right job, the right
yeah.
business, the right thing to do would solve how I was feeling. And that's only partially true. I was happier being a Reiki master than I was a diver. So there was improvement. But it was the analogy that's coming to my mind, Katie, is if, let's say, on that road trip to California again, but our whole lives were a freestyle hippie inside, but for some reason we feel we need to wear a constrictive business suit that's too tight and shoes that are too tight. And we carry around this feeling like that's how we're supposed to be or whatever. And so we're on the road trip to California, and there's still a piece of us that feels trapped. We're wearing the damn suit, right? And so the lifestyle, the energy bits, the who bits, often speak to that suit and say, how can we transform how you're feeling in the seat right now?
Mm.
And if we, and but let me also say that I never liked it when I was given advice to say, just appreciate where you are now.
Yeah.
I hated that advice because even when I look back on it, if I was to share diving with any other who, with any other lifestyle, it still would not have made me feel all that much better.
Yeah.
I absolutely needed to change the career as well. So, but let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. What if we're really masterful about this? And start to redesign our practical work, what we're doing day to day, and the clothing we're wearing, the energy piece, the lifestyle piece, at the same time. It seems to me that that's not, again, a luxury. That would be very strategic in the sense that we would get to where we're trying to go so much more easily, so much faster in most cases. That's a theory, but I think I might be right.
I think it's, I think it's true from what I've seen and encountered. Now, you told me that I should remind you about the fifth
yes.
point, which links in here. So
right.
just tell
right.
me now how that,
okay.
What your next point is. Or your next.
So the next point is the point that everyone thinks I'm going to start with on my workshops. I always worry I'm going to disappoint them. But anyway, the fifth point is your work and income.
Yeah.
But now, the reason I have it at the end is because we've already had a chat about the who, and we saw how that changed everything. We had a chat about energy, saw how that could change things. The other two JRs, Big Dreams and Lifestyle, changed things as well. And so building our garden with those things, now we can address our work with a lot more clarity.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean we have to be self-employed. I just happen to specialize in helping people design businesses and so on for themselves. But even people with jobs, for instance, a story of a guy that went through all of this and decided that the work that he would – let me back up a step. Work is kind of – one question to ask is, if we could make a contribution to the world, if we could change something, make a difference about something in this world, if we had the capacity to do that, what areas would interest us? And what if there was a way, no matter where you are, even if you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, or if you're 5 years away from retirement, I don't care where you are, is there a way that you can start to make a difference in that area? And so this man that was very concerned with the environment, and of all of the things in the world that he would like to make a difference, a contribution to, is the healing of our planet, the healing of our environment. And he was in a municipal job and wanted the pension and didn't want self-employment and all that sort of stuff. So what does he do? He ends up exploring within the infrastructure of where he's at, who's working on environmental issues, what's happening, what are the gaps, where are people stretched and not able to do some project that needs to be done. So he started looking into that. And you know what? Because he cared about it, because he naturally cared about it, it came so easily to him. Plus, he cared about it so much that he knew so much. He had so much knowledge and wisdom in this area that he very quickly became a person where, as I think, if I have the story right, they pretty much designed a brand new position for him. And he's kind of the environmental director for strategies for the city. And that's amazing. So he thought he was completely stuck in his job. Once we talked about contribution and what kind of contribution he would like to make, boom, this happens. And so let me say a couple other things about work and income. There's kind of a formula I use. I won't really have time to go into it today, but I could probably send it to you by text or something. You could send it out. Mm-hmm. But a formula that I use to help people try to figure out, like him, what am I interested in, but also something else that's really important that I feel. We want meaning in our work. We want fulfillment.
Yeah.
And the place that almost always comes from is our life experience. Something in our life experience has given us the way we see the world, has given us some wisdom in some area, or even if we don't feel we have any wisdom, it gives us an interest in that area, a passion in that area. And if we can work even a small bit for our income in that area that's connected with our life experience, meaning is a no-brainer. It just comes with the package. Examples. Someone who has been through a really, really difficult divorce, say. And, you know, in the middle of it, thought that she would rather die than continue on with this. It's just a horrible way to live. Every day is unsure.
Yeah.
And yet somehow in this story, she comes out the other end of it 5 years later, let's say, and she really is an astonishing woman. She has found strength that she didn't even know she had. And she's got this aura about her, a certain solidness. And if there were people in the world that were just going into or in the middle of a divorce like this, how meaningful would it be for them to be able to spend time with this woman? She doesn't even have to fix anything. She's just an example, a role model. Oh my God, there is hope. I can get through this. Not only can I get through it, I can look like her when I get out the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that woman wanted to, she could begin exploring her take on divorce, what she learned that got her through it. She doesn't have to teach anybody the way to do it. There's no way to do it. People just want your opinion. If you've been there and you've got through it, people will want your opinion about how you got through it, and it will be meaningful for a great deal of them. And so I know that's a very short synopsis, but when we're talking about meaningful work and income, we talk about life experiences, we talk about the skills you already have, and we talk about if you could wave a magic wand and make a difference in the world, what would it be? And we all feel that we're too small to make a difference for the most part, don't we? We like to think
yes.
we can make a big difference, but deep down we often feel too small, you know? And so that's a bit of a loaded question, but people are often surprised how little it takes to make a contribution to some area when they're bringing their life experience to the table.
Oh, that's a lovely example. And yes, well, Alex, we could go on talking for hours. I just have so
oh,
many other questions,
good.
But I'd love to hear a few of the questions from the audience. So I'm just going to open up the lines, And we'll see if people got questions about what you've said so far. Okay?
Wonderful. Oh, please do. Don't be shy. I love to chat about this stuff.
Right. So here we go. And please. So, whoops. We got a dog there.
Oh. Unfortunately, I can't understand that question.
Okay. Yes, that's right.
We need a dog whisperer.
Exactly. So I'm wondering if anybody just wants to say something right now or has a question.
Jesse?
Yes?
It's Layla. Hi.
Hello. Jaina, is it?
Layla.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
And okay. Do you have a question that you'd like to ask Alex?
Yes. He said that the first thing was the dream.
Right.
How you take your dream. And is the person, you know, there are a lot of people like myself who kind of like have lots of interest and have lots of dreams.
Right.
How would you pick one of them? Or how would you know that this is the one? Or how would...
That is an amazing question. I'm so glad you asked it.
There are truthfully so many people like me, you know, who have lots of interest, would be passionate about lots of things.
I get it. I really get it. I think that you're touching on one of the biggest difficulties people have in figuring out their life direction, in my experience working with people, is that they have 100 interests. And
exactly.
Here's my take on it. I'll just share a really strong opinion about this, okay, without beating around the bush, and that way you can see where I'm coming from. I think it's a really bad idea, for the most part, to pick one idea, to pick one dream. And do that. And let me tell you a little bit about what I mean, though. Let me talk about self-employment. People who might like to design some kind of a business for themselves. If they design it around one thing, like I like yoga, then they're a yoga teacher. And there's a million yoga teachers in the world. But let me show you a different example. Let's say you don't choose between your interests. Let's say you love yoga. You also love independent music, rock music. You know every new band that's out there. You know great, great music. And let's say you're also interested in dancing, and you are also interested in women and women finding themselves, empowering themselves. Kind of. If we take all of those interests, what can happen if we put them together into a container? And so what can happen is we have a person that the only person perhaps in the United States, that's teaching yoga to the best rock music on the planet. And it's so unique that it's hard not to notice it. And at the same time, there's a dance element that she brought in, and it's, who's it for? It's for women who feel, oh my God, I'm trapped. It's time to start living my life. And so by not choosing, she suddenly creates something unique. And I think that, I know I can't go, you know, really deeply into this with you, but what I do find, if it helps, is that if we design our business as a sort of container within which the whole container as a whole is designed to make a certain contribution to the world, hopefully. It's designed to share something with certain kind of who's. But the container itself is yours. And you can put in everything that you love. And can you imagine if you blended art and yoga and motorcycles and something else into the same package, how you would end up with a business that's naturally incredibly unique? It's easier to market, plus it's a whole lot more fun to be in because you can pretty much put any ingredient you want. I have a good friend in Colorado who's a life coach, but also adores his motorcycle and adores time out on the open road. So what did he do? And not just a motorcycle, but being outside. So what did he do? I thought it was brilliant. And I know a lot of life coaches, and he's, you know, one of the examples I always tell. So there's your marketing bit. But he does motorcycle trips in the summertime that are all based around life evolvement. So he gives you something to think about, between this point and this point, he leads a motorcycle tour. You get to the lunch spot, you're having lunch, and everybody talks about what they thought about this thing. Then they move to the next spot. So he's blended motorcycles and life coaching together. He does the same thing by taking his clients out to walk up a mountain in Colorado. And his clients were so much happier with this new arrangement than they were before, and he's happier. So all of that is, I'm wondering if I'm properly addressing your question. I know that you still need to figure this out, but I do think if we think about our business or our work as a container in which you put everything that makes you uniquely you, and there will be a way to make that work, and it will really stand out amongst any other person on the planet, and you'll become one of the people that I'm talking about.
Okay, I like the idea. I will think about that. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you for that.
Beautiful, Alex. I love those examples. And actually, you know, I have the thing of being interested in a lot of different things, and that always was my a big challenge for me. And I coach a lot of people now who have many interests. And what I found also is not only can they, as you say, create powerful things by combining their interests, but also there's certain people who just, and I think I'm like that, there's certain things I go through cycles with.
Art,
I grew up actually with a family where my mom was a painter and my dad was a photographer, and they did it all the time. And I figured that was the way you had to be an artist.
Yep.
But in actual fact, I cannot, I just am not able to do the same form of art all the time. I just get bored. So what I find is I really go in myself and say, what am I really feeling like doing, as opposed to what should I do? And in a different time, I might be doing a theater project. Then maybe later I might be doing poetry or whatever. So I think there are natural cycles there too.
That's a great example, and if we're, as you have been, a little bit strategic about building a business that's, again, more of a container within which you can explore whatever's most current at the time, then allows you to feel constantly more fresh.
Yeah.
But the container stays constant, so you don't lose all your clients. You don't lose all the people that you can interact with and earn money from. In the process. Right now, for instance, I kind of haven't been teaching meditation for quite some time. And as you know, Katie, I just decided that this month I wanted to dedicate myself to meditation myself and sharing what I know about it, or my take on it. And so I set up a meditation teleseminar. So, but interestingly, it fits into the container of my overall business because it fits nicely in JR number 4, your energy. So in that sense, next month, or especially come summertime when I hit the road again and I'm off traveling somewhere, I can really focus on the work and income piece, designing freestyle entrepreneurship, or I can focus on the dreams and so on. Anyway, I'm talking and talking, but obviously everyone's getting the idea.
Wonderful. Yeah, no, I really understand. By the way, I think your latest manifestation of your interest works brilliantly because it's a wonderful course. But you also call it like a road trip, so it links with your other work. So
I did.
It's really fun.
I did. And honestly, Katie, to be truthful, the first few names I came up with just sucked. Like I didn't light up at all. But I had to get the course out. It had to go out that night, one way or the other. And I had this awful name for it. And I finished the write-up about it. And just before I sent it out, I went, oh, road trip. And so I quickly changed the name 3 seconds before it went out. And I'm so glad. It has infused this 30-day meditation course with the idea of a road trip. And it has taken on the characteristics of that. With exploring places that none of us are expecting, even me. And so, yeah, thanks for that, Katie. That's nice to get that feedback.
Well, you know, I don't even think I would have been interested in the course because meditation for me often
funny.
Is kind of boring.
That's
but
true.
I am a gypsy soul. And so that name kind of really sparked my interest, and I thought, ooh, gee, this sounds much more exciting. And
wow.
The way that you're doing it, I'm absolutely enjoying it. And, you know, I'm almost every day I can make it on the call for 30 days, which is incredible. So you've really done something special there.
Yay, thanks, Katie. That's great.
So I'm gonna open up for another question or two, and just a minute. I'm going to see if people are unmuted. Great. So is there somebody who has a question right now?
Yeah, this is Denise. Can you hear me?
Could you talk a little louder because I'm not hearing you,
this
please?
This is Denise. My question is, you had mentioned that there were 5 juicy realizations, and I was wondering if you could just real quickly go over the 5 again.
Yeah, sure I could. Yeah, yeah. And I'd love you to play with them. Don't take my word for it. Just explore, take 5 minutes to explore each of these 5 yourself, just to see if you start noticing that, oh my God, these are ingredients that are not luxuries. These are critical if I'm going to really thrive. Okay, so that was my challenge to you. See what you think of them. So number 1 is, what are your dreams? So big dreams, small dreams. Right from taking a cooking class to having a home in the country, you know, small to big. Number 2 is, what sort of a lifestyle would be perfect or good for you as an individual? Someone else might just love to have a cozy office to do Reiki in every day. I need open space and roads. So nature, what kind of a lifestyle do you think you would thrive in? Daily, monthly, yearly. The 3rd one is the who. Who's in your life that you want to take into account? Family, loved ones, maybe even people that aren't there yet because we haven't made time for it. As well as who we would like to work with. And if we could make a contribution or share something of ourselves with certain who's in the world, what would be quite meaningful? The 4th is your energy, the ingredients that nourish you as a very specific plant in this world. And 5th is your work and your income. So in that sense, I would explore life experiences, your current skills, if you could apply them to a different who, and if you could make a difference in the world. If you could in some area, what would that area be? And I know that's opening up a can of worms there because that's hard to figure out, but that'll get you started. And then doors may open along the way as you get going.
Great.
So,
thank you so much.
That's the 5.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
So do we have another question? I'll wait a moment, and then I might ask you a last question. Anybody else there who has a question? Okay, so I've got dozens of other questions, but I'm going to limit it to 1.
Okay.
Which is, why is it so important to the world that we follow our hearts?
Oh, my God. I do have a feeling about that, Katie, of course.
I think that
the solutions to the challenges we see around us in the world, from poverty to environment to things like that, I think the solutions that we need already exist. They're like seeds in the hearts and the minds of people, and in particular children. And I think that with our children, what we really want for them is to grow up happy, don't we? And then at some point along the way, we can change our tune, or society changes the tune for these children. Get a good job, get a secure job, do things in this way, the house, the marriage, whatever, all those bits. And the trouble is that sometimes none of that is the sunlight or the nourishment that the seed needs to grow, that the world needs. So we have these children in the world. They have not only the seeds to solving problems in the world, but they have symphonies in them that have never been created. They have books in them that are going to change the world, that are going to change how we all think. they're going to be astonishing healing in some of these children. And collectively, if we were to want to make a difference in the world, there's one powerful place that we can focus. And that is, what is there any way I can make a difference to the world these children are coming into that allows them to follow their heart a little bit more? And the adults that go right along with them. And so I think as grown-ups, it's very hard to tell children to do something when we're not always doing it ourselves, right? They don't tend to pay attention to that, quite rightly. And so as grown-ups, we can often think of it as a kind of a selfish thing about redesigning our lives to suit ourselves, you know? And at the same time, I'm not sure that that isn't the most important contribution we might make to the world because of other people also that notice us. If you're following your heart and you're doing something in this world, able to make some kind of contribution, it doesn't have to be big, right? But just a contribution, then I want my child to have witnessed that. I want my child to know you. I want them to know that if they're stuck in a job when they're 40 or 50 and it's killing them and their seeds are locked inside them, I want them to remember someone like you. Someone who said, "Ah, life is for living. Life is for experiences, and I've got something to do on this planet, and I'm going to explore it." So that might give them the motivation to step out of a stuck situation and move forward themselves. I'm talking and talking here, but it just strikes me like that is the most important contribution that I would like to be able to make in the world. I hope it's needed. I hope I'm right. But it certainly feels good and it feels right. And if I could make a difference in that for grown-ups and for the children coming behind them, then I would love to dedicate my life to exploring that. So that's why it's important to me, at least, Katie.
Oh, that is just such a lovely, inspiring answer. And, so much of this call has just been so deep and so wonderful. We're going to need to wrap it up now, but I'd just like to thank you so much, Alex, for all the wisdom that you've shared with us. And your stories are just wonderful, and they really give the substance of what you're teaching and make it so clear. So thank you so much.
Oh, Katie, thank you so much. That's so lovely. and my huge blessings for your Creativity Cafe. I think it's wonderful, wonderful idea. And again, you're creating, Katie, here you go. You're creating an environment where people can evolve, where people can explore the stuff that's really important to them. And it's an honor to be here, and I hope some of what I've shared is useful for the group.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And it is a it's been a little dream of mine for a while to do this, and I finally found in myself the capacity to do it now, and wish to do it, and it integrated with the rest of my life, and I'm just so delighted to have started it with you. And I just wanted to tell people that if you're interested in finding out more about Alex's offerings, you can go to www.bigdreamprogram.com, and I actually will send out something to all the people on the list about that as well.
That's great, Katie. You know what? It's actually that will be a good address to go to within a couple of days. But just at the moment, it's bigdreamprogram.com/WordPress.
Okay.
You will still find stuff at the site that you talked about, but all the newest site, my new site, is bigdreamprogram.com/WordPress. The reason I'm really saying that is not so much to market myself, but the fact that there's stuff there that you can read through, you can research, you can learn a bit more.
Wonderful. And also for people who need help in developing their creative passions and projects, you can check out my website at www.katiecurtin.com. That's KATIECURTIN.com. com. And there's actually a free report that you can sign up for called Top 10 Traps for Modern Renaissance Souls that they fall into and how to avoid them. And it actually gives you some suggestions if you're one of these people with many interests and talents about how you can design your life. So finally, thank you, everybody, for coming out today, and we'll be sending you out more news about future offerings of the cafe, as I've got a really exciting lineup already happening. And so just wishing that your creativity would flourish and that you can take some of these gems that Alex has shared today and apply them in your life. So have a great week, and thank you once again, Alex.
Wonderful. See you, everybody. See you, Katie.
Yeah.